talking about the creek. Creek talk, talking about the creek. Creek talk, talking about the creek. Talking about Dawson's Creek.
Welcome back to Creek Talk. This is Steven.
And I'm Jamie.
And this week we are recapping season 3, episode 14, Valentine's Day Massacre. Jamie, happy Valentine's Day in
happy Valentine's
July.
Day in July. July's almost over. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. I can't believe it. I can't. I was actually looking at the calendar today when I was working and I was like, wow, it was just June and we were having the same conversation. It's so weird. But
I look at the calendar and I kind of want to cry, but I want this year to kind of be over. I'm over it.
We're going to stay positive. So we did not start recording until now, which is 9:50 p.m. And I had to send Jamie a bunch of BTS videos for her to cheer up.
And spiraled for a minute there, guys.
She's in a much better mood. So
I spiraled.
We're going to stay in this mode. Jimin. Jimin.
Send me all the Jimin.
Speaking of videos and TikTok and that stuff, my irk right now, Jamie, are food bloggers. Like, there's a couple of them that just really, really annoy me. There's this one lady who will do orders, like people's orders will send her, and they're like the most random things, but they're not unusual or anything. It'll be like, go to Wendy's, get a Frosty, and dip your fries in it. And then get a chicken sandwich and dip the chicken sandwich in the Frosty. And then she'll do it and she'll either like it or she'll say, uh-huh, 10. And I go, it's not like you're eating anything weird. Like, who hasn't heard of eating their French fries in their Frosty? Like, she's so weird. And then there's another girl who only eats one thing every day and she speeds up her video. And the way she narrates the videos, it's so irritating. She'll go, I'm going to Olive Garden all day today. I got the fettuccine Alfredo and it was so good. And then I had the bread and the bread was so garlicky. I love garlic. And then like, she'll do like weird things like that. I don't get it. And then there's this other lady who's an actual chef who I actually don't mind. But when she narrates her stories, this is how she talks. And I know I did this a tangent on this before in another episode, but this is what she does. And I noticed it's just how people talk now. I don't get it. They go like this. So you're gonna chop the garlic and then put the garlic in a bowl. And then from there, you're going to mash up the potatoes and then put the potatoes in there. And then from there, you're going to fry the rice. And then from the rice, you're going to fry the olives. And then from the olives, you're going to put the salmon on top. And then from the top of that, you're going to eat it. And then from there, you're going to love it. It's like,
and the green grass grows all around. The green grass grows all around. Anybody know the nursery rhyme? Just me.
Right. Yeah, it's like a weird melody that people have now where they talk. I don't get it. It's weird to me. And then I get sucked
as opposed
into
to monotone people where you're falling asleep listening to them. I kind of understand trying to add a little jingle in their words.
No, that's not my point. The monotone people are different because they're doing it because they're making people go to sleep. But these people do it, and I think because they hear other influencers do it, and that's how they think you're supposed to talk. And it's such a weird, random way to speak. I don't understand. I don't know. That's my tangent. I've been thinking about it and it's been bothering me.
I see that.
And I'm not going to talk like that because I can't talk like that. I don't understand why people talk like that. It's weird.
I don't follow food bloggers because that just makes me want to eat food. I'm pretty sure when I look at food, I just naturally gain a pound. So I can't imagine my TikTok just being food. So I'm just going to stick with the like Asian influencers that are now all over my feed.
Yeah, stick
all
with
all the
that.
Dancing. And the BTS fan made clips. Like, I'm happy with that right now. You know, I'm getting video edits from dramas, you know, that are Korean and Japanese and Chinese, and I'm loving it because it's giving me an ever-growing list of shows that I have to check out to go along with my ever-growing list of books that I have to read. It's just, I wish that we were immortal, you know, because if we were immortal, I wouldn't feel so rushed to get all this stuff done. And then you go down that like hole where you're like, man, what is the point of doing all of this? I'm just going to be dead in the next 50 years or 60 years or whatever. Like, why am I doing this to myself?
Well,
it gets real dark.
I had a similar thought, but not as like, you know, depressing. It's weird. Normally you're the one who's like super like happy, and I'm the one who's like bringing us down like a river to death. But like, I was talking about it and I was like, you know, I stress myself out over everything, right? And like, what's the fucking point? Like, a nuclear bomb could bomb us and we'll all die. And I got worried over something at work, you know, like I stressed out about something dumb at home. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, it kind of puts things in perspective. Like, you never know what's going to happen. Why am I going to stress myself out over stuff that I can't control? And I don't want to constantly be, you know, I used to be like that. I used to always be so frustrated and like angry and annoyed. Oh, wait, I still am all those things. But no, I'm just, I used to worry a lot. And I feel like I've learned how to deal with worry more than I did then, because everything was so catastrophic to me and it was like the end of the world. And now I just realize it doesn't matter, because like whatever I'm dealing with today, it's going to just pass by. It's going to happen. It's going to pass by. And the next week it's going to be something else. So like, yep. I can't continue to worry about things that I just don't have any control over, because it's pointless, you know?
When I start going down that thought process that I was mentioning a few moments ago about, you know, what's the point, I reel myself back in by going, well, you know what, let's make the most of my short little, you know, human life and learn that extra language, even if I don't ever actually use it, because it makes me happy, you know, buy that album because, right, you know, buy the damn album. You like it. It makes you happy. Freaking buy it. You know, buy that book, buy that computer. Right. Your current life, your best life, you know? Yeah. There's my slogan for the day. Make your current life your best life.
Well, let's get back on track with the reason why we're recording today. Did you like the episode?
I like the episode. It's not a favorite episode. Joey kind of bugged me a little bit because she really needs to figure out how to cut that cord from Dawson.
Well, I think she's going to cut it soon.
Yeah. I can appreciate Casey's frustration with Joey, even though to Joey is not warranted because she has no idea why he's behaving the way that he is. So it's nice to kind of see him get more and more like frustrated with himself and with her and everything. So, I mean, I guess we're kind of setting ourselves up here for Pacey to kind of get more and more ballsy, even though he chickens out towards the end. And a head has to kind of happen between Dawson and Joey for them to kind of really start to actually separate themselves. So, I mean, it was a necessary episode, but it is not like my favorite episode.
Yeah, I thought it was a very cute episode. I thought it was a good filler episode for what they're, you know, they needed. They're doing all these like holiday episodes, it seems. But there's a part at the very end when he's asking her if she wants to learn how to drive. And Jamie, I'm not even kidding. When I watched it, I went like this last night. I went, oh my God. I was like, this is so sweet. I couldn't believe it. That's literally the sound I made. But I was like, this is like, so I don't remember enjoying it back then as much as I enjoyed it last night. But like all these episodes, I vaguely remembered this. I remember Jack's ex-girlfriend came back and they were going to like a party, but I don't remember really anything else about it.
Well, I mean, they were at the party for like a whole 5 minutes. So I completely forgot about their friend and Jack's ex that came to visit.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
I don't know why they brought her on either. It was so weird, but I liked her.
Yeah, no, I liked her too, but like nothing significant surrounding her like really occurred.
I feel like they just brought her on because it was just another thing for Joey to get mad at Dawson about. And when we get into it with the whole thing with her, like, constantly questioning his path and who he is and all this stuff, I was like, shut the fuck up, Joey.
He was like mom mode crazy. Yeah. On, like, what? You did what? Like, who are you as mom? Back off. Oh, I don't know. She was more so on his case in this episode than I think in any of the previous episodes that we watched so far. She was shocked at every decision he was making. And then she started blaming Pacey for it. Pacey's like,
yeah. But I also thought it was weird that she was so on top of him with stuff.
Yeah.
When she was really in the past episodes, just really keeping a distance from him. So I don't know why.
Yeah.
She was like hovering. I don't get it. It was, I hate that feeling.
I completely agree. How do you go from, you know, minimal interest to all of a sudden just, what, you're going to go to a party? What, you're doing that? What, you tried to kiss a girl? Like,
yeah, the continuity is so weird.
I mean, I understand that they needed a catalyst so that those two can, like, recognize the drama and how it is inadvertently affecting those around them, I guess, to prepare for upcoming episodes, but the tension between everybody, it's going to get like a little bit better until Joey and Pacey actually start seeing each other. And then it's going to fall apart again. Like, their relationships, as close as they are, they're still so very fragile.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, an appeal in the show, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. But I really do like how they're making him so aware of his feelings.
Yeah, they really are.
And she's almost like oblivious. It's so funny because it's almost like she's Dawson in season one.
Like, yeah, we've got some role reversal here. That's definitely, I completely agree with that. She's basically Dawson from season one, completely unaware right now of Pacey's turmoil.
Yeah.
But he's basically in turmoil right now. He just can't figure his shit out.
Yeah, he's a mess. But I really like how the writers have written their characters together, though. It's really sweet. But before we dive into that, Jamie, how was your weekend? Did you do anything fun?
I went camping or glamping. Let me, you know, clarify. I'm not much of a tent camper.
You're not a tenter.
Tents, there's no, like, I don't know. I need like a fan. I need air. In the middle of the summer, I can't breathe in a tent. Have you ever been in a tent in the middle of the summer? It's suffocating. I'd rather sleep on the ground outside because at least then there's airflow. Okay. Yeah. So I'd almost would rather get eaten up by mosquitoes than suffocate in a tent. So
what are your options?
My mom has a like a trailer, like an RV, not an RV, but it's like an RV, but without the car part, right? You hook it up to a truck and you tow it to wherever. So we did one of those camping things for the weekend. And it was a good time. It rained only once. We were expecting way more rain than we got. So that's cool. I don't mind the rainy days because it just means I get to sit inside in the air conditioning and read a book or something. The only downfall of this place is it didn't have Wi-Fi. And I know you guys are probably like, really, you're going camping and you're concerned about Wi-Fi. But listen, on those rainy, stormy days when you can't go outside and you're stuck inside of this tin box, internet is like a must, or at least cable hookup. So that way we can plug the TV in and, you know, have something to do.
You have to keep yourself entertained.
I mean, the RV that my mom has is pretty stocked. I mean, she's got coloring books and games and puzzles stored in there for that. I always bring a book, and I do bring my laptop in case there is Wi-Fi hookup, because then I have access to Hulu and Netflix and Disney and, you know, Peacock and Paramount and everything. people can stream and I can read in a corner and not be bothered, but they didn't have that, but that was okay. I read for most of the one day. The second day we were there, I went kayaking, I love kayaking, guys. If I could spend more time just sitting in a little tiny personal boat in peace and quiet on the water, just listening to the wind rustle through the trees and the birds chirping and just the water lapping against the boat. And it's heaven. It is pure heaven. If you've never experienced it, I highly recommend you guys go find a lake and a kayak and just do it. Bring a cooler, You know, I have a waterproof speaker I hook up to my phone. So I got my tunes while I'm, you know, tooting along down this little river. It's fantastic. Sometimes I have to be mindful of the music because you pass other people and you're like, is this appropriate? I'm not going to see them in the next 10 seconds. I'm gone.
like who cares?
But it's fantastic. That's my weekend. What about you?
Well, I went to my grandmom's on Saturday. That's what I did. She needed a couple of things, so I picked them up for her, and then I just stayed there for, I'm not even kidding, I was there till like midnight. We were just talking. And, you know, I always have a good time with my grandmom. I always did. She cracks me up. And then Sunday, I took the kids, my niece and nephew out. My nephew Kevin actually wanted to go because normally I call Adriana, and then Kevin was like, can I go? And I was like, yeah, you can come. And we ended up going to Five Below. And then I took them out to lunch, and then we just came back to my apartment, and Kevin put on this dumb movie called The Bye Bye Man on Netflix. And I thought it was going to be creepy, like the way it started out. And it was like so dumb, and we were laughing at it. And those are the times when I'm with them that I love the most, because we'll sit there and we'll like just crack up over dumb stuff like that. And we'll be like, remember that dumb movie we watched where you're just like cracking up? I don't know. It's cute. They make me laugh. And then I took off Monday, which was nice. And I pretty much spent the whole day with my grandmom again. She needed me to take her food shopping. And we went out to dinner, and I came home and I just tried to edit some more. And then it was back to work. But I was pretty productive, I have to say. I think this weekend I'm going to just chill out. We're in a heat wave right now, which is killing me.
Yeah.
And I think this weekend I'm just going to chill out and relax, especially on Saturday, and just do absolutely nothing. But otherwise, I wanted to say thank you to all the people who joined our live for our 50th episode.
Yes.
We were having some weird tech issues with my echoing. I don't know what the hell happened, but we had fun otherwise. I watched it back and it was funny. So we appreciate everybody asking questions and talking in the chat. It was fun. I love it when everybody does that. We get the people watching. So
me too.
Exciting. And on that note, why don't we get into this episode, Jamie?
Yeah, let's.
You ready? You ready to do
ready. I'm ready. All right.
All right. So we are recapping season 3, episode 14, Valentine's Day Massacre. I think it's funny that it's episode 14 and it was for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, because of the 14th. Valentine's Day is on February 14th.
Yeah.
Well, that was well planned out, guys. Well
yeah. Planned. This aired February 2nd, 2000, and it was written by Tom Capinos and directed by Sandy Smolin. All right. We open on Dawson and Joey in her truck, and he's teaching her how to drive, and it's a stick shift. So she goes into the wrong gear and she tells him that she doesn't want to learn to drive anymore, that it's too hard. She like gives up. And I thought it was kind of funny that she would give up learning how to drive, because I would have just assumed that she had already known how to drive by now, especially a stick shift. If that's all she had. Like, why is Bessie not showing her to drive this? Or she would have.
So I'm pretty sure that truck is the truck that is Pacey's or Pacey's dad's, because if you remember that way back in the first season, that science episode where those two are out in like the bog or whatever, collecting whatever the heck it was, shells or
your favorite episode.
One of my favorite episodes, right? Where they come back and she's changing and he's peeking. That's that truck. I'm pretty
is
confident.
It? I thought it was a dark truck because this is a blue truck, but at the end of the episode, it's the same truck.
Pretty sure it's the blue truck. I'm pretty sure it was the same one in both.
But why was Pacey in the back of it then? Why was it showing?
I don't know why Dawson was the one that was trying to explain it, but I think it's Pacey's dad's truck, so that's why he was there. He just wasn't the one that was teaching her.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go with that. I mean, I don't know.
Can you drive stick shift, Steven?
No, I think I've even said it before. My dad taught all of my siblings how to drive stick except me. And we had a truck that he just would not teach me. I don't know why. I was the only one who went to driving school. I think my parents just thought I was just like a big idiot and didn't know how to drive. But my dad literally like forced me to get up and go get my license. And I did. And yeah, he taught everybody but me. I was just like, whatever. I guess I wouldn't want to drive a stick shift anyway. I like an automatic. So
I love stick shift cars. I love them. It's a lot of fun shifting gears. It's a little better on gas because you can control the gear that your car is in.
Mm-hmm.
My car is no longer stick shift, but my first car I had for about 7.5 years, and that was stick shift. And it was always funny for some reason, you know, going to high school and even like in my early 20s and late teens and stuff after that, because I drove stick shift and my car was a stick shift, between my friends, that just automatically made me the better driver. So I pretty much got stuck driving everywhere, whether it was in my car or theirs. They were like, just give Jamie the keys. It's fine. She can drive anything. But I especially liked the credit that I would get and the impressed nods from the guys who can't drive stick. So it was always like so surprising that I could. I've taught two of my ex-boyfriends how to drive, drive stick shift. So, I mean, you know,
it wasn't your Saturn, was it?
It was my Saturn. Saturn
was a stick shift.
It was 5-speed stick shift. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that they made Saturns as stick shifts. That's so weird.
5-speed. Good. And now I can drive anything, including my Harley.
I always felt a certain way about people who could drive stick shifts because I never did learn how to drive one, but you know, I just gave up. But I always remember my dad just teaching my siblings, and I was just like, well, I guess he didn't have the patience. I don't know. I guess I just stopped caring after a while.
Some people don't have the patience though to teach, and they get really upset if you stall too many times. Like before I got my Saturn, my ex-boyfriend had a older truck that was stick, and I remember being in the car and him trying to teach me in this big parking lot and him just yelling, clutch, 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 clutch.
Oh my God.
And me stalling it for like the third time and going, I can't do this with you yelling at me. We're done. Like, I'll have somebody else teach me. And then I got my car. And then I think my mom pretty much did most of the teaching. So there we have it.
Well, that's kind of what happened with Dawson and Joey. She didn't like the way he was teaching her. She didn't even say it in the next line.
Yeah.
We hear Pacey in the back say, are we there yet? He's sitting in the back of the truck bed. And he says, the camera slowly cuts to him sitting in the back. And he goes, what on earth have you guys been doing up here? And Dawson says, this is a shining example of why friends should not teach friends to drive stick. Joey says that he's not exactly Lloyd Dobler. And she says, say anything. John Cusack teaches the Ioni Sky how to drive, except he was much more patient. And he says, as I remember, she actually listened to his tutorial. Pacey says, let's try and find the love up there, shall we? So then Pacey gets out of the truck bed and says that he and Dawson should invite Joey out on the town with them tonight. And Pacey says, unless you've got prior Valentine's Day plans with the college beau. And Joey says, no, massive midterm crisis. And Pacey says, what kind of guy would rather shove his nose in a book than take his girl out for Valentine's Day? And Joey says something snarky about AJ pursuing academic excellence, the Pacey, which is kind of rude. And then Dawson tells her just to come out with them, that it'll be fun. And Joey says, depends on what Goofus and Gallant are up to this evening. Did you catch that reference, Goofus and Gallant?
Not that one, no. I did catch the Buffy reference later.
Oh, yeah, I got that one later. Goofus and Gallant are from Highlights Magazine. I guess they were brothers, but they were, one was good, one was bad. One always did bad things. The other did the right thing.
Goofus? Like Goofy? What kind of Goofus? Is that what you said, though? Goofus?
Yeah, Goofus.
You're like Goofy and Doofus in one word. Goofus. I love it.
Goofus and Gallant. Yeah. I always used to read them when I read that magazine.
Never heard of it.
You never heard of Highlights Magazine?
Yeah, but I've heard of Highlights. I never read Highlights.
Oh, I used to get it all the time.
I never really was in the magazines. And when I was in that, like the teenager years, it was always Cosmo. Because it always had like the fun games and stuff inside.
You wanted to know what kind of woman you were? I used to read them for that too. I wanted to know how to attract a man while reading Cosmo magazine. So Pacey says that Matt Caulfield is throwing a massive anti-Valentine's Day party. And Joey says, why would you want to go to a Matt Caulfield party? And Dawson says, after everything we've heard about him, why wouldn't we? And Joey says, that surprises me. Matt Caulfield is a creep, and his parties are infamous for complete and utter debauchery. So then Pacey asks Joey why she's coming down on a guy for wanting to shed his skin and have some fun for a change. And Joey says, And why are you dragging him into a seedy, depraved world reserved for bottom feeders like yourself? And I wrote, that was really mean.
They're both kind of snippy at each other.
Yeah. It's more her now, but later on, it's just him. But it's because he's getting jealous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Dawson breaks up their little argument and tells them that they have to go to school. So then Joey passes on the party and she says that she's going to decide to make it a blockbuster night. And Pacey says, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Who are you going to get to drive you? And then Joey just looks at them and we get the opening credits. It was a cute scene. Have you noticed that we were getting a lot of scenes with just the three of them?
Yeah, because the whole focus is going to shift
right
for the rest of the season. And it's mostly going to be about these three and their relationship, because their relationship is going to be changing.
Mm-hmm.
They're preparing for that focus. And I am ready for it. So ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you?
I am. I actually am ready. So we hear a voiceover and it's Pacey and Dawson. They're talking about this new guy, Matt Caulfield, who's throwing the party. And Pacey's jealous of Matt's life. Then Dawson says, urban legend has it that he slept with 6 cheerleaders in one weekend. And Pacey really wants to go to the party. But we cut to the guy, Matt Caulfield. I didn't even look up the actor's name. He's literally in the episode for 2 seconds.
He's ancient. Seriously, how old is that dude?
Well, he's supposed to be a senior, but
he's like 25.
Yeah, he's
or older.
He's way old. But there's like a group of people just around him. They're talking and they just keep cutting the camera back to him. And Pacey really wants to go to this party. Dawson's kind of getting cold feet. He says, maybe Joey's right. I'm not exactly set out for a career in hedonism. And Pacey tells him to pick up the phone. This is his call to action. Your hero's journey begins now. And Dawson calls him a poor man's Yoda. So Pacey says that he always considered himself Han Solo.
I love Han Solo. I love Star Wars. I love all the references.
I know. I was like, Jamie's probably loving this. So then Jack comes up and Pacey calls him his Chewbacca. And Jack is giving him news about Matt's party and that the location is completely confidential. But, and then Jack smiles and he says, I did get the password. And Dawson asks what it is. And Jack looks at him and he says, I know Kung Fu. The bell rings. We cut to Henry in the nurse's station. Nurse Nicole is telling him that he can only sell plasma every 72 hours. And I noticed that Henry got a haircut. He got the Dawson cut. He was growing it out. And then they cut it just like Dawson's hair. All weird and bangy. It's got bangs in her.
So basically the person that cut Dawson's hair is definitely the person responsible for cutting Henry's hair.
Exactly.
Because it's the same cut. This style looks good. We'll go with that.
Yeah. He's begging the nurse to take his plasma because he has a date with an angel. And he spent the last 2 weeks working at her favorite restaurant to pay for the meal. And the nurse says that she can't bend the rules. Henry finally charms her into doing it. He practically fucked her ear while he was like talking to her. He was like,
yeah, he spun a web. All right. He definitely knew how to manipulate those strings.
She's like, fine, Henry, but you need to get some rest before you go out on your date. He's like, haven't you ever dreamt of a guy and always wished for that guy to come to you and then fuck your brains out? And she's like, I see your point. All right. Roll up your sleeve. I'll take your plasma. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. He's like, maybe that guy is out there. Maybe he's just stuck waiting for somebody to allow him to donate his plasma. If that's the case and he's stuck, she's just at the wrong station. She needs to go find where this guy's waiting for her to donate his plasma. I'm just saying.
She's like, you're speaking his my logic language.
Is faulty. His language is faulty. Language. No, that's not the words. His reasoning, his logic. That's
logic.
Logic is faulty.
That's funny though. So now we're with Pacey and he runs into Deputy Doug downtown and he's sitting in a squad car and we hear this really horrible R&B song playing. And I tried to look
that up. That what it was?
Yeah, I tried to look up who it was, but I couldn't find the actual song. Pacey's making small talk and then he mentions the song. He's like, what is this, like, atrocious? Like, what is this? And Doug says, he goes, is that not the voice of a diva? And Pacey makes fun of him. It's really funny.
Yeah, I probably would have too. He's not really helping his whole I'm not gay argument by listening to that.
It was so
because obnoxious. No straight man listens to that unless his I wife know. Is making him. So
it was so mom. Obnoxious. And oh, he was like God. And the way he was like talking about it, I was like, oh my God, Doug, they're making this so obvious. So Pacey says that if he continues in this manner, he's going to force him to unleash a salvo of gay stereotype humor that will leave him breathless and quivering. And Doug tries to leave, but Pacey asks if he can do a ride along with him. And Doug tells him not tonight. He'll be bored. He heard there might be a party on the golf course. And that's pretty much what Pacey was looking for. He wanted to know where the party might be. So Doug kind of told him. So then Doug asks if he heard anything about it. And Pacey says, no, but I heard about a rager going on Witch Island later. And then we cut to Andy on the phone and Jack is eavesdropping. Andy has invited her old friend and Jack's ex, Kate Douglas, to stay with them during Valentine's Day because she just broke up with her boyfriend and she needs a change of scenery. So Jack asks if Kate mentioned him. Andy says, it's natural that she would. And he says, well, what did you tell her? And Andy says, that you're great. And he says, and? And she says, and? And he goes, and? And she says, and? No, okay, I didn't tell her that. That is so your gig. Jack's pissed. He's like, why would you invite my ex-girlfriend here? Now I have to tell her I'm gay. Andy's like, just go get a drink of water and then, you know, kind of mention that you like boys. He's like, whatever. He's mad. We cut to Jen and Grams. They're in Jen's bedroom. She's trying to pick out a dress for her date with Henry. She asks Grams, red or black? And Grams says, it's Valentine's Day. Red, of course. And Jen looks at herself and she says, yeah, I thought so too. So Grams can tell that Jen is getting anxious. And she says, it's perfectly natural to be nervous. Valentine's is a very exciting day. And Jen says that she's not nervous. It's just another day, just another dinner. And Graham says, it's not just another day. It's the day St. Valentine gave his life to the Romans rather than stop marrying young Christian lovers. And she gets the chills and she says, I can feel his spirit all around us. Jen says, oh, I think it's just a draft. Graham says, you are far too young to be this jaded. So then Jen comes out and she's wearing the black dress, not the red dress, which I thought was funny. And she says, who's jaded? I think it's great that we have a day that commercializes on our emotions. So now they're both standing in front of the mirror and Jen's trying to like find something else to put on. She says something's missing and Grams tells her that she looks beautiful. So then Jen goes to put on a necklace and Grams stops her. She says, an unadorned neck is proper for the first date, chaste, pure. Jen smirks and she says, and that's so me. So then Grams tells her that the best thing for nerves is to just take deep breaths in and out. And Jen says, for the last time, I'm not nervous. I have absolutely nothing to be nervous about. I have been on plenty of dates with plenty of guys on plenty of days. So please don't make a big deal out of this because it's not a big deal at all. And Jen looks like she's going to shit her pants.
Yeah, she's definitely nervous.
She's getting all worked up.
Even Grams was like, oh, whatever you say, I'm just going to let you be. You're obviously in denial.
Grams tells Jen to just have fun on her date. She says, have fun on your date, dear. And we're left with Jen just staring at herself. Now we cut to Andy, Jack, and Kate are all driving together to the party. And the character Kate is played by Alexandra Breckenridge, who was on, she's in a bunch of things, but she was in The Walking Dead. She was in American Horror Story. And I did not even realize that she was in Dawson's Creek. She looks so young.
Yeah, she's got the baby face still.
Yeah.
And you know what's so funny that you say that? Because when I watched her, I'm like, why does she look familiar? But I didn't know why. So you said she's in...
She was in the very first season of American Horror Story. She played the sexy maid.
Oh.
And then she was in The Walking Dead for like a season or two, I think. Where she was dating Rick. And she had two sons.
Don't remember that.
But yeah, go on her IMDb. She's done everything. But she has one of those faces. Like she looks like, it's almost like Eve, the actress who played Eve. Like you've seen her in everything.
Yeah.
Like what did you say before? Like you just drop her in anywhere.
You drop a dropper, you know? and like she one just of those clawed machines where you get the stuffed animal, you know, pop a quarter.
Wait, this is the claw machine that we can just pick all the actresses that kind of do the same thing. Just pick any of them and just put them on the show.
Rinse, wash, repeat, shuffle. Exactly. I have it backwards. Rinse, wash, shuffle, repeat. There we go.
So Kate turns around and she says, Jackers, you've been awfully quiet for someone I haven't seen in a year. Jack says, well, it's just weird to see you. And she asks him if he has any special someone in his life these days. And Jack begins to tell her about his sexuality, but he stops when he hears her crying. Oh, because he says, funny you should ask, or something like that. He says, funny you should ask. And Andy's like, well, what's wrong, Kate? And Kate says that her boyfriend recently broke out with her. And that's how he started the breakup conversation. Funny you should ask. But her boyfriend broke up with her because he told her he was gay. And then Jack sort of like puts his head back on the back seat. And then Andy's like kind of looking at him like, oh, no. Like, here we go. So now
what are the odds, though, that her ex-boyfriend is gay now and the one she just got out of a relationship turned out to be gay too? Like, what are the odds? Like, she's lucky she hasn't developed a complex where any guy that dates her, she's turning gay, as opposed to they just feel comfortable enough to come out. Like, she's the turning point. You know?
That's
the last girlfriend that these men have before they decide officially that they like men. Like, how do you not get a complex? Like,
they're like, well,
like a lot, but
she's like that girl that you're like just easy to be around and, you know, feel comfortable, but you know it's not going to last because deep down you really just want to have sex with another man.
Really just want that D, right?
Yeah, just really want the D. And she doesn't have it to give it to you.
There are strap-ons for that.
Oh my God. Ew.
Just kidding. Sorted.
Whenever I see a porno like that where the woman has a strap on and they're like, you know, fucking the guy, I get so turned off immediately. I don't get it. I
find that funny.
It's not my kink. Because it's a girl with a vagina and she has like a strap on fucking her husband. Like, there's nothing like it. Just because you want to have anal sex doesn't make you gay. It's just a pleasure point for somebody. If he was having sex with another man, that might make him gay. But like, I don't know. There's a guy on Howard Stern who's he's this older guy, Ronnie the limo driver, and his girlfriend Stephanie fucks him with a dildo all the time. And I think it's so weird.
I mean, you like it, you like it. Then you know.
I know. I'm not judging.
You guys, do you?
Yeah, like do whatever you want. Whatever.
Who love is love. Attraction is attraction and kink is kink, man.
Yeah.
That's your thing? Go for it. We are judgment free. That is a big load of shit. I'm judgment free. You're judgmental.
I know. As I'm saying, it's weird.
Not really well.
Weird to me. I don't know. No, but deep down, I'm like, I don't care. I really don't care what anybody does. To me, it's weird. I just wouldn't.
Silently judging.
let's move on. So now we're with Pacey and Dawson, and they are on the golf course. They're waiting for Andy and Jack, and then they all finally meet up. Kate's with them, and they introduce each other. Kate says, any friend of Jackers is a friend of mine, and Pacey makes fun of him because she called him Jackers, and Jack's like, we go way back. And Kate tells him that Jack was her first boyfriend, and Pacey says, oh, like way back. So then Kate makes an announcement to everyone, and she says that she recently just broke up with her gay boyfriend and she finds herself in a highly charged emotional state. Okay, thanks for your time. Kate was a handful, I think. I don't think I'd want to hang out with Kate on a regular basis. I think she was kind of like, she reminded me of somebody, and I don't know who it was, but she was just like irritating. Even when she's with Dawson later, I would be so turned off by her.
I don't feel that she's a handful. There wasn't anything, any one thing that she did that was like where anybody really had to reel her back in from being too out of control. The whole scene with her drinking, and then I didn't even feel that she was drunk.
No.
So, like, I don't really even, I don't understand it at all. Like, she's filling up her cup, which it looks like is probably, aside from the Jello shot that they do, the first time that she has, like, an actual drink. And they go for a walk. She's not stumbling. She's walking in a straight line. She's not slurring. You know, she's having a coherent conversation with Dawson.
Yeah.
And then she calls him out on it. He leans in to kiss her. And now all of a sudden she's puking, in the, you know, in the bushes. And I just, like, I'm like, where did that even come from? Yeah. Did the Jello shot hit her wrong? Maybe she's got a texture issue and can't do Jello. Because I understand.
That's you.
But that should have happened, like, I don't know, the moment she stuck the Jello shot down her throat. So I don't get it. Pacey pulls off being drunk more than this girl did, and he didn't. Well, he gets sick later. I don't know how to feel.
She's just not a good drunk actor.
Maybe, or just the thought of Dawson kissing her made her sick.
No, because she wanted him to kiss her.
Yeah,
I don't think that was it. It was just for dramatic effect.
Well,
and we're like, what can we put in this scene right now? Because Dawson is, you know, wants the universe to give him a good time. And he's trying to do this so hard with this girl. And she even goes in to kiss him. And then she's just like, barf, I have to throw up. So we're not going to make it a happy moment.
They should have planned that better then. Like, if they were going to have her throw up from drinking, then she should have at least acted like she was actually drunk. You know what I mean? Even if it was like a slight stumble here and there and a little bit of a weevil wobble, like, you know, or... Yeah. You know, she just maybe talked slower, because I didn't think she was drunk at all.
I didn't get that either. So I agree with you.
For her age, she should not be that poised when drinking until all of a sudden she's puking. Like, there's just, that's no way.
No way. No how.
Not unless she's a secret partier, but she even mentions at one point, this is the most fun on the weekend I've had ever. So
I know.
I don't think that partying's her forte, so I'm not sure what's going on here.
So Pacey takes Dawson aside and asks him if he heard what Kate said. And she's like, yeah, I can't believe she has two gay ex-boyfriends. And Pacey's like, no, she's trying to hook up, basically. Like, she's just trying to, you know, make out with someone.
Yeah, she's trying to
get past it. Yeah.
So rebound. Then
exactly. She's trying to get a rebound. And she's very open and honest about it. So, I mean,
at least there's that.
So now we see Joey show up in a yellow jacket with a yellow bucket hat, which, like, what was she wearing? It was so weird.
She wanted to be as bright as the sun in her cloudy, dark mood. I don't know.
That's what the wardrobe people did. They were like, so her character this episode is a massive, massive asshole, negative asshole. Let's put her in the brightest clothes possible.
Exactly. She's going to be a cloudy storm, a stormy cloud. Yeah, no, that's what I meant. So we're going to put her in something real cheerful to be complete opposites of her mood. Let's balance this out.
Just cut the camera to Katie. Cut the camera to Katie. She's beautiful.
Cut the camera to Katie.
So Pacey says this couldn't possibly be Miss Josephine Buzzkill in front of him, because I'm pretty sure she was boycotting tonight. And she tells him that she came to make sure she doesn't lose Dawson to the dark side. And Dawson tells her that he appreciates her concern, but he's capable of taking care of himself. And she says, someday you'll thank me. And Pacey tells her that she is not going to ruin this night for them. And we cut to Henry. He's picking up Jen. She opens the door and he literally looks like he's half dead. His face is so pale.
Yeah.
His eyes are all red.
By the way, dark side, another Star Wars reference.
I know.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh my god, are you done?
Sorry, I had to get that out.
That might be copyrighted. It sounded exactly like the instrumental.
Yeah, just that good.
I might have to cut it.
I'm not that musically inclined, sorry. You guys' ears are all bleeding now.
Oh my God.
Make her stop it. Make her stop.
Jen asks Henry if he's okay. She says, you look a little peaked. And he says that he's been dreaming about this for so long that he's afraid if he speaks, he'll awake. And she's like,
talk about the pressure. Under pressure.
I wrote, even though he's talking, he tells her that she's gorgeous. And she says, so are you. And he gives her a rose and says, this whole night's going to be perfect. And then she pricks her finger on a thorn on the rose. He like freaks out for a second and she's like, it's okay. And he's like, no, you're bleeding. And she's like,
it's so extra about it. As he's like suffering from blood loss and you know, he didn't get any rest. He was like,
let me suck your blood. I need the blood.
Yeah, I was really, when this was happening, I legit thought that he was going to take her finger and stick it in his mouth. Like, I was waiting for him.
Could you imagine? Like,
part vampire. He's about to vampire it up, you know?
He was about to, yeah, suck her dry.
I want to suck your blood.
Okay, so now we're back with the other kids. They're all riding golf carts to the party. Where'd they get the golf carts, by the way? Like, they stole them.
They're on a golf course. So they had to either Pacey or it has to be Pacey has the keys or they like somehow stole them from the like wherever they store them at the golf building. I don't know.
The golf club?
That's the word. I'm not a golfer. Okay. I don't know.
I'm not either.
I can play some mini golf. I'm actually okay with mini golf. I'm good at that. Don't give me a club and expect me to hit it, you know, 40 yards that direction because it's probably going to go behind me. I can't play actual golf.
Yeah, I've never really just played it. It's not.
I feel like it would be really boring. I'd be drinking the entire time.
I mean, I don't know. Unless it's something that we both really got into, you never know.
I think the only thing that I would have fun is driving the golf cart around and drinking a little, you know, mimosa or something.
I've never driven a golf cart. I always wanted to drive one.
Oh, really? They're fun.
Joey can drive a golf cart, though.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's only two pedals, you know, your gas pedal and your brake.
There's no stick shift in a golf cart.
I mean, maybe there's one out there that exists, but no, they're not common.
Oh, okay.
I want to say sure. No.
So Joey and Pacey are riding together. She tells him that he was as subtle as an Oliver Stone film, the way he pushed Dawson off on that girl. And Pacey asks if she's jealous. And Joey says, no, I'm just worried about him. She says that she thinks he's lost. And Pacey concurs. And he says, that's why he needs to acquire as much life experience as possible. And Joey asks why life experience has to include hooking up and wild parties. Pacey says, what would you rather him do? Join a Book of the Month club? Jack.
That's what I would want to do.
Yeah.
Not for life experience, though. That would just be to actually make some, you know, some friends. Some like-minded friends.
So now we hear Jack. He says that he's screwed and he's with Andy. She's driving. And Andy says that he's going to have to tell her. And Jack says, if he tells her, he's going to end up hurting her all over again. And Andy's like, get over yourself, Jack. And then we cut to Kate and Dawson. They're driving together. And she asks him if there's something hideously wrong with her. And Dawson says, not that I can tell. And Kate says that the guy she just broke up with used to tell her that she was an acquired taste. And she says,
whatever that means.
She says, is that just a nice way of saying I'm a filthy eyesore? And Dawson tells her that she's beautiful in a way that beautiful actually meant something.
Whatever that means.
I know. And she's shocked. She's like, what's your name again? They arrive at the party. They get out of the golf carts. Joey says, Scream 3 is still playing at the Rialto. They can still catch it if they leave now. And I was like, oh, they did a reference to Scream 3. Fun fact. You know who was in Scream 3?
Who?
Cliff Jansen, a.k.a. Scott Foley from season 1.
A.k.a. who? Oh, Scott.
Oh, yeah. Scott Foley.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
Cliff Jansen. Remember Cliff Jansen?
Cliff.
He was making the football movie and he liked Jen.
Cliff, the football guy. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, he was in Scream 3. Pacey's like, easy, Potter. So then Jack says, how do you think these guys are going to respond when they find out we're crashing their party without an invite? Andy starts freaking out now. And we see Matt Caulfield come up to them. They're all standing in a line and he says that it's his party and he doesn't remember inviting any of them. So then he asks for the password and Dawson says, I know Kung Fu. So then they enter and he says, not so fast. He says, there is an entrance fee. And Pacey's like, oh yeah, what was it? $5? And then Matt Caulfield hands them a plate of Jell-O shots. Little tiny Jell-O shots. Like, so they all do them. Pacey makes a joke. It says, well, thank you, Mr. Cosby. That did not age well. And we get another Jell-O joke later with Henry. And Kate's like, ooh, it's red. It's pretty. And then she does the Jell-O shot. Okay. Jell-O shots are not easy to just do a shot. You have to like squeeze the thing if they're not done correctly. Like yeah. Sometimes you gotta like pick it out with your finger. They're all like doing it like it's a real shot. I was like, this is not
so real. Obviously these they either oiled the shit out of those mm-hmm. cups when they did them make them, or they were like neatly placed in there. I don't know, because yeah, anytime I've ever done a Jell-O shot, I had to like stick my finger in there and do yeah. the whole spinny thing to loosen it up around it, because it sticks to the edges. Otherwise you're tonguing the damn thing and I might as well just be making out with a cup. I mean, come on.
I know, it's so annoying. And then half of it just gets stuck in the cup.
They're not even yeah. that good. And I mean, no matter how much you put in it, I feel like you're going to get more alcohol out of a shot than a Jell-O. I just don't see the point of Jell-O shots. I don't really do shots. I definitely don't see the point of a Jell-O shot. I also have an issue with Jell-O. I have a lot of issues. I don't know.
So no Jell-O shots for Jamie.
No Jell-O shots for Jamie. No, thank you.
So then Matt comes over and tries to give Andy a Jell-O shot. And she says she's the designated driver. He goes up to Joey and he says, how about you, doll? And she says, well, that's an attractive offer. Although I'm sure you're dying for the chance to hold back my hair when I inevitably vomit up that nasty keg beer. I'm going to have to take a rain check. And I was like, oh my God, Joey, just do the fucking shot. The other thing I don't
understand. Shot, give me the beer. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, like just enjoy your, like loosen up. It's not like she's never been to a high school party and got drunk. She's done it before. I don't understand right. why this is so bad to her. It's so weird. So Dawson takes the shot and does it, and she's like, you're actually considering participating in this nonsense? I was like, oh my God, you're not his mom. Just let him just do whatever the fuck he wants. So Pacey even says, why don't you let the man make his own decisions? And Joey's like, Dawson, this isn't you. And Pacey calls her pathological. And Dawson says, they're not at the gates of hell, and you're not arguing over my soul. And then he does the Jell-O shot. Joey's just a Debbie Downer. So then Joey walks in one direction and Andy follows her, and the others go in the opposite. So now we cut to the restaurant with Henry and Jen. It looks a lot like Entree New from last season.
Mm-hmm.
But this is called The Bass, I think, because Henry was doing work on the restaurant and they paid for his food. So they're sitting at the bar, Jen's surprised at how great it's turning out. And Henry looks really sick. Jen's just talking to him, like they're having conversation, but he's not responding. He just looks like he's going to pass out. And he even like closes his eyes at one moment. He gives her his attention and she asks if she's boring him. And he says, no, I was just resting my eyes. And she says, oh, well, feel free to put your head down and take a nap if you'd like. And then he's like, oh, and then he literally passes out. He falls on the floor. He falls backwards on his chair.
That's a really good idea, but I'm not going to lay my head forward. I'm going to go this way.
He just looked white as a ghost. Like he really did.
Yeah, they did he's pale to begin with, but they really yeah. did a fantastic job making him look like
even ghostly.
He was ghostly. He was ghostly.
We cut to Joey and Andy. They're driving the golf cart together. She asks how Pacey always manages to get them in these situations. And Andy says, it's his cocky charm. And Joey says, cocky, yes. But I don't think the village idiot routine equals charm. And she says, you know who you sound like? And she's like, who? And Andy goes, me, right before I started dating him. And I was like, dun, dun, dun.
And you would think, I'm trying to really remember if she puts it together before she's told or not, or if she just feels completely surprised. Because if you really look at her reaction, even later when they're kind of having these issues, when they're in like the drunk tank, mm-hmm. essentially, and Pacey's just like getting meaner and meaner, and like these words start coming out. And even her, she even looks at him like surprised because of how strong his emotional reaction is to the entire situation. I'm really trying to remember if Andy puts two and two together before, or if she's like surprised like Dawson.
I feel like she does figure it out at some point. but she doesn't want to acknowledge it.
Right. Maybe.
But I don't remember, because I always feel like Andy's just smarter than everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. So then we see a police car and Doug pulls them over. Blah, blah, blah. He found the party. We cut to Dawson and he goes over to Kate, who's pouring herself straight up whiskey, which made me gag when I saw it. And he says he's wondering, and she repeats them, and she apologizes.
Is that what it was? It was whiskey?
Yeah, I think it was Jack Daniels.
Oh, well, no wonder why she got sick, even though she wasn't portraying the whole being drunk thing. I guess if she's just drinking straight whiskey, that'll be in.
Even though she wasn't acting drunk.
There's no way that girl can hold her liquor like that. There is no way. I call bullshit.
What's the one drink that you would drink that would get you all messed up that you like swore you'd never drink again?
Jaeger.
Yeah.
Mine, I will never drink Jaeger again.
Mine was always SoCo and lime. And then
I love Southern Comfort.
And then anything with like coconut rum, stuff like that. So gross. But recently, it would have to be Crown Royal.
I've never had it.
I think it's whiskey. Crown Royal's whiskey. I drank so much of that at my sister's wedding, and I was throwing up all night long. It was disgusting.
I don't drink Jaeger because it makes you crazy. I'm not nice. I get argumentative. I will straight up fight someone.
Like, oh my God, Jamie. We've never seen each other drunk.
Only on Jaeger, though. Like, so when I was drinking Jaeger, it'd be like a shot of Jaeger. And then most people do Red Bull. I drink Monster. I don't like Red Bull. So I've got I'm drinking an energy drink. And then I have this alcohol. And it just.
I know. You can taste it, right?
I can taste it. Yeah, it definitely just made a face because I can literally taste the Jaeger. I can smell it. I can taste it. and I just like, I just remember this one night. And I remember everything, and I went through so many. It was like a kaleidoscope of emotions. I was like good and happy, and then I was like arguing about sports. I don't even like sports. And it was this whole argument. I don't even remember what I was saying, but I was heated, man. And then I lost my ring, and I was throwing stuff. Like, I was going through trash cans in the bedrooms and in the bathroom because I couldn't find it. And I swore that a person took it just to be a spiteful biatch. Like, I was just going nuts. And then I was crying because I couldn't find it. I'm like, I'm never doing this again. I feel like I'm a crazy person right now. Like, I just went through so many different emotions in such a short span of time. And they were like extreme emotional reactions. So Jamie and Jaeger are not friends anymore. We don't do that. You want a happy drunk? Give me wine. Give me wine. If I drink an entire bottle or two of like Chemung Red or something, I will be like the happiest person in the entire world. I'm like giddy. I make funny jokes. I'm smiley. People love me when I drink wine, but just don't give me Jaeger.
I wouldn't even be able to picture you like that.
Angry?
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a common thing, but.
So yeah, Dawson goes over to Kate and he starts talking to her, and she's just repeating everything that he says. And she apologizes and she's like, yeah, isn't that annoying? I was like, yeah, don't do that. And he asks her if she would want to take a walk. And she says, with you? And she thinks about it and she says, a walk with you sounds neat. Let's go. We go back to the restaurant and Henry is being taken out in an ambulance. And Jen says, I can't believe you sold your blood, Henry. And he says, twice in a 48-hour period. He wanted to make everything about the night unforgettable. And she says, well, you did. So then he gives her a ring and he says, it's Hungarian red. And he tells her to try it on. And he's... she goes to put it on.
Oh, this orange ring. It's Hungarian red. Oh, excuse me. But it's orange.
I didn't even notice the color of it. I thought it was like a gold ring. I don't know.
No, it does look orange. Once they pointed it out, and I think she was wearing it later, you could really kind of tell. But I'm going to look this up. Hungarian red.
Hungarian red ring.
No, this is red. It doesn't look orange.
You know, it kind of looks like there's orange in it.
Maybe it's like an orangey tint.
It's so funny because that's kind of like what I pictured in my head.
I wonder what made him pick that ring out, though.
I'm assuming because he's Hungarian.
Was he? Did I miss that intro?
I just, that's what I figured.
You just assumed that he was Hungarian?
Yeah. But he tells her to try it on, and she goes to put it on, and it's too small, and he starts freaking out about it. And she's like, don't worry, Henry, everything's perfect. Everything's perfect. And he just leaves in an ambulance. They take him out. So then we cut to Dawson and Kate. They're walking and talking, and she says, I know what you're doing. And she says that he's being Freddy friendly, trying to take her off everyone's hands because she's basically a mess. And he says, well, what makes you think that? How do you know I'm not trying to take advantage of your situation? And then she starts laughing. And she says, I may be drunk and I hardly know you, but that's not you. She says, first of all, who in a million years that was trying to take advantage of my situation would use the expression, I'm trying to take advantage of your situation?
Anyone who says that they're trying, like openly admits and uses the phrase that they're trying to take advantage of the situation is a good guy. And I'm thinking to myself, no, he's just an educated guy who knows how to use words. I feel like any guy who is trying to take advantage of this situation could say that I'm just trying to take advantage of the situation, and then they're just being really honest about it.
Exactly. Like just being charm. Very, yeah, he's just being really forward about it.
Yeah, their forward charm.
I also thought James Vanderbeek looked kind of handsome in this scene. I don't know what it was. If it was the lighting or what, but I thought he looked handsome. But he becomes really annoying again, and he starts yelling out to the air that he wishes that the universe would just conspire with him one time when he's trying to have a good time. And she's like, quit whining. And he says, you be quiet. And she says, maybe if you just acted instead of hemming and hawing and debating and conversing, then maybe you'd actually see some results. And he says, well, what's that supposed to mean? And she says, when you take a girl into the woods, don't talk to her about kissing her. Kiss her. Especially after you told her that she was beautiful in a way that beautiful meant something. He says, oh, it's that simple, huh? And then he goes and leans in to kiss her. And then she like stops and she says, hold that impulse. And then she turns around and she vomits. And Dawson says, perfect. Just perfect.
Well, yeah, he's not going to want to kiss her now. She's got.
I know. I wouldn't want to be there. I'd be like, gross. And we see Doug with the flashlight. He catches them.
Dougie!
He's stopping the whole party.
Boring.
Doug really is a wet blanket. Like, he's not that much older than them. Like, just let your brother have some fun. Jesus.
He's just doing his job.
Deputy Dougie. So now we see Jen. She's at home. And Grams is sitting in the kitchen. And she says, yum, early. And she says, unfortunately, not early enough. She says, this Haggard girl just got back from the date from hell. And Graham says, something for you and Henry to laugh about on your second date. And Jen says, I don't think there's going to be a second date. And Graham tells her that she has to get over her preconceptions about what a date is supposed to be. Even if it's a bad one, it's just another moment, another pearl in the great wondrous necklace. I'm losing my accent. Jen says, okay, before you wax geriatric, which I thought was so mean, but so funny.
She didn't even have a reaction to it. She's like, whatever.
I know. No reaction whatsoever. She says, Henry is in the hospital right now for selling his blood to buy me a Hungarian ring that is too small. And Jen says, it's grammar school. Graham says, Henry never claimed to be the sophisticated sort. And Jen says, exactly my point. Why do all of this if it isn't who you are? And Graham says, maybe he thinks that's who you want him to be. And then they cut to her face thinking very long. Like, oh, maybe you're right. But this doesn't make any sense to me either, because up until this point, Henry's been pretty obvious about who he is and how much he likes her. There was never any sort of like indication that he was trying to change who he was to make her happy at all. So like, I don't understand the writers with them too.
I'm wondering if it was more on the lines of him being so desperate to finally get to go out with her. And then he's finally got like his foot in the door to get her to go out, but she's still on the fence. And it's mentioned, or he's getting that vibe that, you know, he's a lot younger than her. You know, she's more experienced. So he's just kind of really focusing on trying to be somebody who's much older and sophisticated than he actually is.
Right.
Not so much that that's what she was hoping to get out of him or expect out of him, the way that she kind of explains it later. But I just feel like that's the vibe he was getting from her.
Mm-hmm.
Taking into consideration, you know, her concerns on the age difference and, you know, his lack of experience compared to her experience. Just being vastly apart. So I feel like he was just trying too hard to make up for that gap. And this was the result. That's what I took out of it.
we're back to the party. Doug's busting the party down, and we cut to Pacey, who is left hanging upside down. I guess he was doing a what is it called, a beer bong. And he's like, "What did I do? Somebody get me down." And then we just see
Doug. Did I do it wrong? I didn't think you could do it wrong, but
no, he's already upside down.
They just high and dry left him. I mean, was he tied to it? He couldn't move? I don't understand.
I guess so. That would be terrible if he got stuck there like that. He could die.
Yeah.
So now we cut to the jail cell. The kids are all in one cell together, conveniently. And
Dougie Kate did it. Dougie said, "They're all friends. Let's watch this unfold."
He's like, "I already busted their party. Let's make some more drama happen." Because Doug's that kind of gay guy. He just wants to see drama.
He likes to knock them up, or set them up and knock them down, you know? Set them up, knock them down.
Kate asks if they party like this every weekend because she had so much fun and she's so over her ex-boyfriend right now. So then Jack tells her that he's so glad to hear her say that because he has to tell her something. And Andy slaps Jack and says, "You are not going to tell her in an enclosed space." And Kate's like, "What don't you want to tell me?" And then Jack goes to talk to her and Kate's like, "Oh my God, you're gay." And she's like, "But we had..." And he goes, "I know." And she goes, "But you were good." And he goes, "Well, thank you." "But that really doesn't have any bearing on our current situation. I'm still gay." And then she looks at Dawson and she goes, "Are you gay too?" And he's like, "Me? No." She says,
"Was that a serious question right now?"
I know. And then she says, "Are you sure? Because apparently only gay guys will kiss me." So then Joey looks at Dawson and she says, "You kissed her? It's none of your business, Joey. Like, he can kiss whoever he wants. You're kissing the college guy. Like, why do you care who he's kissing?"
Yeah, this whole part with her just, like, freaking out on him. Just no wonder why Pacey snaps.
Makes no sense. None of it makes sense. She's like, "Well, what were you thinking?" And he says, "He wasn't. For a fleeting moment, I actually wasn't thinking, and it felt good." And Joey says, "To take advantage of a girl who is drunk, vulnerable, and clearly on the rebound? Is this jaw-droppingly out of character?" And Dawson loses his shit now. He says, "What character? The little sketch you have in your head labeled Dawson? This may not be the me you're used to. I might make a complete fool out of myself, but you have to start letting me make some mistakes." So then Pacey calls him out in front of everyone. And Joey's like, "Stay out of it." And he says, "Who am I to tread on the sanctity of the Dawson and Joey dynamic?" And he tells Joey that he thinks it's fascinating the way she treats Dawson, like some weird, neutered, little virginal creature. And Dawson says, "What's your problem?" And Pacey says, "I don't have a problem. I am but a Greek chorus here to observe and interpret." And Joey asks him when he adopted this mean streak. And he says, "They've always been known for the snap, crackle, and pop of the repartee." And she says, "Right, the good-natured banner. I don't remember it ever being pointed and hurtful." I had to go through this scene so many times because there were so many words that they were saying in this. I don't understand.
So even if they're banter, a couple of times I had to stop and rewind it and like go back and read the section just because it was happening really quickly. And then I don't know if I just didn't grasp the severity of certain comments, but I really didn't think that their banter was that much meaner than it normally is. So the fact that they were kind of making a little bit of a stink about Pacey's behavior threw me off because I watched this entire scene twice too. And I was just like, but what did he say that was so pointed and mean besides him just being kind of honest in his feelings? I don't know. I know
she's the one who called him a bottom feeder.
That's what I'm saying. She was kind of a lot meaner to him. He was just a little like his deliverance on the words were like negative, I guess, because he was frustrated and kind of fed up at this point. But I don't think that the words themselves were like anything that anybody wasn't already thinking. He was just finally voicing what everybody else, I'm sure, was feeling outside, like especially when it was coming to, you know, the will they or won't they saga continues and you guys are together, you're not together and this and that. And he's like, can you just make a decision? You know, I didn't think that that was mean. I think he was just voicing something that they may not have been aware that they were doing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't agree with it either. I thought he was getting mean in this scene, but the whole night, I don't think he was mean to her at all. I think she was way worse to him.
I definitely agree that she was way worse than him, but he was picking on her a little bit, but I feel that a lot of that had to do with his confusion on his feelings for her and the fact that she's seeing someone else. And, you know, he's frustrated with that situation and he's just frustrated. Poor kid.
And she's like giving all of her attention to Dawson. Like she's so concerned about Dawson. Like to Pacey, it's like, oh my God, like she doesn't see me like that.
Everybody but him.
But we do find out later. We do find out later that she was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, or it's ever to be taken so seriously. And she says, how can I not take it seriously? You said one harsh, nasty thing after another to me tonight. What did I do to deserve all that? And he says, you didn't do anything to deserve this. He's just frustrated. And he says, do you have any idea how exhausting it is to exist on your periphery? To witness this perpetual dance you two have. One week you're soulmates, the next you're giving each other up for the greater good. Do you think it's possible that sometime soon you can make up your mind, please? And the reverence that you two treat this little saga of yours is enough to make a guy want to puke. So he turns around and he pukes in the sink.
Just to drive his point home.
Exactly. He's like, end scene. Oh, man. So now Mitch arrives at the jailhouse and they're all released except Pacey. Doug says that their dad thinks that it's a good idea that he spend the night. And we see Jen visiting Henry, who's eating Jell-O. And he literally tells her that he wishes that he could offer her more. And she admits to being more anxious than she let on. She tells him that at Chapin, Valentine's was the day that her boyfriend would take out the girl that he really liked. And he says that he doesn't believe her. And she says it's true. She never had a date on Valentine's Day, let alone a first date. So she tells him that if they're going to continue dating, and she hopes that they do, that they start acting more like themselves and less like a couple in their 30s. He asks her if she wants him to return the ring. And she says, not on your life. This is the best looking Hungarian red pinky ring I've ever gotten. And she says it reminds her of him, which makes it valuable. That was sweet. And he says, do you realize what we're doing? We're actually having a date. And she's like, don't say anything because it might ruin the situation. And then he says, the second Bill Cosby joke in the episode where he says, there's always room for Jell-O. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't it crazy that Bill Cosby turned out to be a fucking creep?
I never really watched any Bill Cosby shows growing up. I feel like they went over my head. It was a big shock when all of that stuff came out.
I remember during the summer when I was, I don't know, like 13 or 14, I would watch The Cosby Show like every day during the summer. It was always on and I would just sit there and watch it. And it was always a really good show, but now it's like so different because he's such a creep.
But behind closed doors.
Do you know a lot of those cast members support him and don't believe that he did anything to those women? All those women that came out and said that he like rape them and stuff. It's crazy. It's weird. So now we're with Kate and Jack. They're back home. And Kate tells Jack that there's something kind of cool about the relationship not working out because the guy turned out to be gay. And she says it's heartbreaking in its own way, but it's not her fault. And it's not his fault either. And Jack says, I know. She says, do you? Then why were you so afraid to tell me? And he says, because back when we were dating, I thought the feelings that I was having were wrong and that if he told her, he'd be somehow disappointing her. And she tells him, in a million years, you could never disappoint her. And that's the second time she said in a million years. She said that to Dawson earlier. She says, gay or straight, you're a world-class human being. She tells him that he takes her back to a safe place and that's all she was looking for. And he says, good, I hope he found it somehow. And they embrace. They have closure with Kate and Jackers. They're going to be friends for life, even though she never comes back to the show ever.
Never, ever, ever.
They should have brought her back. She probably could have been good for like a couple episodes, especially when they were in college. Could you imagine?
Not really. I don't know what she would, what the purpose she would like. I don't know what her purpose would be.
Oh my God. You're funny.
We have enough new characters in the college years.
So now we're with Dawson and Mitch. They're home and Mitch takes out Breyer's chocolate ice cream because it's like the show's favorite brand of ice cream. That's all they eat. And Mitch tells Dawson that it's been a wild year so far. It all started with a wrecked boat and a wild party. And Dawson tells Mitch that he's just trying to get back to the basics of being a kid. Oh, he's so annoying. He's like, I'm just trying to get back to the basics of being a kid, Dad. And Mitch understands all of that. And he tells him that since he suddenly decided to start acting like a kid, he's going to have to act like a parent. So he tells Dawson that Gal's opening up a restaurant. And he's like, since when? And Dawson will have to spend every waking hour there helping out until he learns that being a kid doesn't give you license to be reckless and irresponsible. And Dawson is like, oh my God, does that mean I have to give up my screenplay video job?
This scene was really funny because Dawson thought that he was making a point like he usually does, that he was going to get off scot-free like he usually does. His face lit up. He's like, thanks, Dad, for understanding.
I know.
He's like, but you're still going to get punished. And I was waiting for him to be like, you're grounded, because that's like your typical punishment for a parent. But no, he's like, you're going to go to work at a restaurant.
I know.
The restaurant that we're just now finding out about.
And he's probably not going to get paid. So,
well, no, probably not.
And Mitch had some scruff going on. I thought he looked cute. I mean, he always looks cute, but he looked cute here.
Dad vibes. He's got dad vibes.
He's a daddy for sure.
Oh, God.
So now we're back at the jail, and Doug brings Pacey some coffee, and he says, you were in rare form. And Doug says, was it about a girl? Who is she? So then Pacey blows him off, and Doug goes to leave, and then Pacey starts in on this whole tangent. And he says how annoying this girl is, but she's amazing. There's not a single topic on this planet that she doesn't have an opinion on. Pacey's pacing back and forth, giving his brother all the details. And he says, when this girl argues...
Pacey's pacing. I feel like there should be more to that tongue twister, but I can't think of anything else.
And he says, when this girl argues, she's coming from a beautiful, pure place. And Doug says, is she pretty? And Pacey says, oh, she's very, very pretty. She's actually the kind of pretty that gives you butterflies. Doug says, never lose the butterflies. And Pacey's like, huh? So then Doug says, what are you going to do about it? And Pacey says that if he were to actually do something about this, there's a strong possibility that the sun would cease to shine, the tides would cease to rise. In fact, the earth would crack open and Capeside would become home to a huge hellmouth.
Jeez, he's so dramatic. And there's my Buffy reference.
So then Doug says, yeah, maybe. But in my experience, you don't come across many people with the ability to give you butterflies. And if you don't, you'll end up spending your life in your own personal prison. I was like, uh-oh. What's he trying to tell everybody?
I don't remember the last time I had butterflies. I feel like maybe you do kind of lose that as you get older.
Well, you do when you're in a relationship, unless you're like so gaga over your partner. But I feel like those things are, the butterflies are like...
nerves.
Yeah, but they're like, they're reserved for like the beginning of your relationship, when you're starting to get to know each other.
Because you're nervous.
Yeah. Or when you're seeing the hot construction guy at work, and every time you see him, you're like, oh my God. Oh,
those
my
are tingles. Okay, that's different. Tingles and butterflies are not the same.
Oh my God. Yeah, I guess you're right. What was I thinking? Thanks for clearing that up.
You're welcome.
Oh man, I'll never see him ever again.
Probably not. Construction's probably basically done on that building aside from...
All right, Jamie. Okay, I get it. All right, let's move on.
Steven's depressed now. He's never going to see his construction guy again. Construction guy, if you're listening.
Oh my God, could you imagine? I'm the guy that used to follow you around all the time like a creep. And you'd smile at me once in a while.
I once ran into you in the bathroom and it was an awkward yet sweet hello.
Yeah, and you laughed at me because I didn't know what to say.
Awkward.
And I was always with my friend who had no idea what the hell I was saying to her whenever you were around.
She was constantly missing because, you know, I was lipping the words and she can't read the words from my mouth. I can't lip read, okay? I'm not like, a lip reader.
Jamie, he's right behind me. Who's right behind you? Oh my God, forget it. Let's go up the stairs.
We're not taking the elevator now.
I know. My God, Jamie.
I'm so terrible. I'm like that terribly obvious person. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
So Pacey thanks Doug, which I thought was sweet. I thought this was a really nice scene, and it was really progressive with their relationship. So it said a lot.
I agree. It was nice to see them have this kind of heart to heart.
So now it's our final scene, and we're with Pacey, and he arrives at the Sisters Potter B&B, And Joey answers the door and she goes to close it on him. And he says, wait, I just like want to say something. He tells Joey that what he said was way out of line and he was just plain wrong. And he's really sorry. So then she's like, you know, I was worried about you too, Pacey. And he says, why? Because Satan himself could lead Dawson into the depths of hell and he'd return with his moral code intact. But you, nobody's worrying about you right now. He says, so because of our highly dysfunctional relationship, this is the way you express concern for me. She says, you got to learn to read between the banter, Pacey. And she's like in her pajamas. And his face
like lights up when she said that. He's like, you care. You really care.
I know. It's really cute.
It is really cute.
There's this awkward pause and they're just sort of like staring at each other. And she goes, so then are we all finished here? And he kind of gets the balls to say something to her, but he says, actually, there's something else. It's something I've been meaning to tell you. And he goes, look, Joey. And he goes, you're lingering on your clutch. And if you want, I can show you. And then she's like, looks at him and she smiles and she goes, now? And then he smiles back and he's like, yeah. Jamie, that scene right there, I literally was like, it made me smile like really wide because I was like, I'm seeing the connection between the two of them. And like, it was such a cute moment for them and how, you know, he's trying to teach her something and they're bonding and whatever. But it was so cute because he was so happy that she was going to let him teach her to drive. You know, I don't know. It was cute. The way he smiled was like,
it was a genuine reaction and it was genuine happiness. I ship them so hard and I'm so excited that you're seeing what I'm seeing now.
You know what, Jamie? You're right. I think it was a genuine reaction between like the two of them. I think that they were probably reading their lines, but I really do think that they were probably like being themselves in that moment.
Yeah.
Because that's what it felt like. It felt very real.
They really sell the relationship. And I can't say that I am mad at all that in the end, it's going to be Joey and Pacey. Like, whatever, Dawson, you know?
There was just something really special about that. I don't know. It got me.
Got me right in the feels.
It did.
My heart, it hurts.
So we cut to them in the truck and he's teaching her how to drive stick and she does it. And we hear her literally say, I did it. And he congratulates her. He says, congratulations, Potter. You're actually getting somewhere. And we get the end credits. And next episode is Crime and Punishment. So that was the episode. I thought, like we said in the beginning of this episode, it was good. It was a nice filler episode. I thought a lot of the Joey stuff with Dawson was weird. But the end, the final scene is what made me really, really like it. So how about you? Final thoughts?
I'm just excited to see this turning point. So now we just have to get rid of Joey's new college beau.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like the happiest person ever. We're so close.
Oh, I think it's coming up soon. So
it is. I hope you guys are as excited as I am. I know we've got a lot of listeners that are Pacey and Joey, so JC shippers. So you guys understand where I'm coming from. Steven is new to the JC ship. Welcome aboard.
You know, it's just so funny because watching it now, you really do get such a different vision of like, or a different view of what these characters are all about. And it's just so weird. Like I look at Dawson and Joey and even when they were dating, I was like, they have zero chemistry. It's so weird.
Yeah.
But the way that they're building up Pacey and Joey, it's so funny to me. It's like a legit relationship, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, that was the episode. Before we go, I just wanted to say that, you know, we've made it a whole year, Jamie. And I'm so happy that we're still doing this. And I'm so happy that you're continuing doing this with me. And every week I look forward to recording together and just talking, hanging out and talking about this show that I love so much. And, you know, I'm watching it again, I feel like for the first time. So I'm just happy that we're continuing on doing this. And I'm so happy that we've like established an audience and we have like listeners and followers who are like so supportive of us. It says a lot because I never really thought anything would even come of this. I really just thought we would just be hanging out every week, just talking about this show. And, you know, it's exciting.
It is very exciting. And I couldn't imagine doing a podcast with anybody else. No. I know. I'm not normally super sappy. But we got a recent comment, was it? You said on Twitter?
We did. Good call. Good call.
Yeah.
Hold on.
And it was so sweet. It made our day. It really, really did. Yeah.
We got such a nice tweet from at Mrs. Witt 8082, which are all my numbers, which is funny. And she said, Creek Talk Pod, just discovered your podcast and I am in love. It's way better than doing a rewatch on my own. You two are adorable and hilarious. And she retweeted something else of ours and she said, my newest obsession. And I was like, I can't believe it. That was so sweet of her to say.
It was the best. It was so awesome. So,
thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
It means a lot. It really does. It means we're doing what we wanted, you know, we set out to do. So
I'm just glad that we're doing what we like and, you know, just being ourselves.
Right.
And it's, you know, having a positive impact. Other people are enjoying hanging out with us. And I love that.
Yeah. You know what, Jamie? I like that we didn't have like a rule book in front of us while we were doing this. We just were like, we're going to wing it. We're just going to be ourselves and we're going to see what happens. And I feel like that's what we do every week. Like I mean, might read off my notes and stuff, but nothing is rehearsed. Nothing is planned out. You know, we might have like a conversation about something that we might say that's coming up, but otherwise we're pretty much like, you know, whatever we say is happening in that moment. Like, I don't know how a lot of other podcasts do it where they like have to plan everything out. It's crazy. I don't have that much brain power to like think about
it. I started off drinking during this. So our original goal or thought process was we'll watch an episode of Dawson's Creek and we'll drink and talk about it. You know, if we get a little tipsy, it would be more entertaining for you guys. We'd have a good time too. That didn't last very long.
No, I wasn't. I think I had one the first
you
episode.
Yeah, you really didn't. I did for several episodes, but it wasn't enough to like have me like have an effect on me because of what I was drinking. I guess if I really wanted to have an effect, I should have just brought up a bottle of wine and you guys really would have experienced me getting drunk. But I like how you guys have really stuck with us as we tried to figure out our groove on what did and didn't work. I mean, how many different things did we go through? We've talked about that question thing that you had at one point. And I was doing a Japanese word of the day that,
I cut that whole question thing out, yeah. But
there was a question thing. It didn't obviously last. You guys didn't even get to it. I thought about doing
the fun facts that I had all planned out.
That you were doing in the beginning of each episode. That didn't last. It was only like as we started talking about stuff. Oh, fun fact. Right. This was this, you know. But it wasn't like anything that was planned anymore.
Because it didn't work, you know.
It didn't work. My whole Japanese word of the day, so that everybody was learning with me. While in theory it was great, the bottom line is it's just too much. That wasn't working either. I kept forgetting about it.
You're so funny. But yeah, no, I agree with you. We tried a lot of different things and it was just very organic with us with how, you know, even the way we end the show, it sort of just like happens with just how that even goes. You know, it's just how things work out and we don't really think about it too much. And I think that's what works. If you're too planned and rehearsed, it just sounds so fake. I don't know.
And that works for some people. It just doesn't work for us. Right. So.
And I like that people get our personalities, you know.
You guys really understand us and we appreciate that.
Yeah, makes me feel
and if you cool. don't, you're just laughing at us and not with us. I mean, that's okay too, because we laugh at each other and ourselves.
So. We don't care either way because we're just gonna keep laughing.
See how unaffected we are.
I know. So unaffected.
Oh well.
All right. Well, I think we can end the show, Jamie. So why don't you tell everybody where to find your Bookstagram?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at jlyn_booklover.
Beautiful. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, you can find us at Creek Talk Podcast and on Twitter at Creek Talk Pod. You can also send us your feedback or any type of story if you would like us to read it on our episodes to creektalkpodcast@gmail.com. And just click our link tree. You can find links to join our new Facebook group and everywhere where you can listen to the podcast. And if you are feeling generous, you can rate and review us on iTunes or Spotify. We would greatly appreciate it. With that, we thank you for listening. Thank you for letting us do this for a full year already. And yay, we hope you all have a great weekend. And we'll
can see we just you give you guys your own round of applause before we go. Just thank you for putting up with us for a full year. Kudos to you guys. You're still here. I'm proud.
We have been cutting down the tangents, I will say. So
yeah.
I'm trying.
We're trying.
But we'll see you next week with an all-new episode of Creek Talk Podcast. Bye. It's only 12:10.